Amen. Certainly we serve a great God, don't we? The scripture says just the other day as Jesus was coming down from Jerusalem, the Bible said there was a blind man who was born blind from birth. His name was Bartimaeus. And as he began to shout the name of Jesus, the crowd told him to shut up and to be quiet.
Yeah.
You know what blind Bartimaeus said? I just can't stop praising his name. I just can't stop praising his name.
Yeah.
Listen, if we as a church would do more of what we have demonstrated in this place today, there would be less shootings on the west and south sides of Chicago.
Yeah.
If we as a church would do what we're doing today, there would be no shootings on our expressways in this world that we live in today. If we was as a church would just stand up and be the church and stop going to church, this world would be different. And somebody asked the other day, is there a word from God? And the answer came back, yes. Whew. I get a little moved too, brother. I don't even know you. Sometimes God sent people in our midst to encourage and to stimulate us. I heard somebody say, let me do this because I want to be obedient and do what God has called me to do and what my pastor has said we should do. In our video segment today, and I wrote this down because I thought this was pretty cool, it says, we have got to get to the point that you want to do the things of God more than you want to breathe. I hope y'all heard that today, church. Listen, God is counting on you and he's counting on me to get the word out to the world today. I just don't get it today because I think that the church think that God is just, we've been hearing this for over 200-300 years that he's coming back. And that's the only promise in the Bible that God has not yet fulfilled. All the other ones he has fulfilled. But I want to let you know, because he's done the rest, he's going to do this. And so you might as well get yourself together. You might as well get out there and begin to witness to your family and let them know that if they don't turn to Christ, they're going to hell. They're going to go to a Christless grave. You don't want that. I don't want that. But you have more influences out there than I do. You have a job to do. Let me say this before we get started. Last night as I was watching the news, and our pastor always give us a little update of what's going on in the world. That's why you ought to come out on Tuesday. So I'd like to invite you to come on out on Tuesday. I don't know what it is, but the Bible speaks of this word. You know this word, remnant? That's all we get. And you know that remnant, you know what it includes? And I'm going to be talking about the church today, so y'all can throw your fiery darts. That's okay. I don't really care. Pastor Shannon, I'm going to stand behind you. You know what I mean? We have got to get to the point where we love God more than we breathe. And I know y'all ain't ready for that yet. No, you're not, because that's what you're saying by your actions. And that remnant, you know what it includes? The same old people. Every time. It's not a local problem. It's a universal problem in our churches today. What's wrong with the church? Why can't we get fired up? Why do we just settle? I'm going to be talking a little bit about that today. But last night on the news, the chief of police in the city of Chicago said when he was a beat officer, his job, on his first job, the average age of most shooters were between the age of 19 and 20. And he said this last night as I was standing there listening to him. He said, but now the average in the age, listen to this, 14 to 15. That's who's doing most of our shootings and our killings today. And this is what he said to the parents. He said, parents, you need to step up. In essence, here's what he was saying. You need to be the examples in your homes. I keep telling people, the first school ain't at your kid's grade school. It's in your house. And the chief of police at Chicago said it best. He said, we can't fix all the problems. You can't blame this on us. Some of the blame got to go to the moms and the dads. And some of you in our church today are part of that group. I'm sorry. My job is to tell the truth. You know why? I don't care what you do, because I'm going to have to stand before God. And you know what I want to hear him say? Well done. Thou good and faithful servant. And so if you don't mind, open up your Bibles with me. Let's stand. We're going to read the word of God. We're going to get this done today. And I want you to listen today because there is a word from God. And listen, after the word has been preached, I want you to know that it's not done yet. It's not done until you begin to do something with what you hear God say today. You know what? We can't change the whole world, but we can change the little place where you and I are in your homes today. So parents, this message is really for you. Dads, this message is for you. I don't know what our problems are, fathers, but we can't get you to do nothing in the church today. We can't get you to stand up and be men in our church today. You can't be counted on today. Maybe you love more to breathe than you do to serve God. Maybe there's so much else going on in the world that captivates your attention. I don't know. In our scripture text today, it's 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read all of these because they're not as many. It's chapter 3, start at verse 10. And if you don't have your Bible, just listen and pay attention, please. It says this. Paul is speaking here. He says, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine," or my teaching. He says, my manner of life. He's talking to his son in the ministry here, Timothy. He said, my purpose, my faith, long suffering and charity or love and patience, persecutions, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecution I endured, Paul says, but out of them all, listeners, I love this. The Lord delivered me. How about it, Janice? God is good, isn't he? In verse 12, he says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Drop down to verse 14. I love this as he encourages the young Timothy. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. 15 being the last. And that from a child, Timothy says to Paul, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you don't mind, just for a few minutes, I'd like to talk to you this morning from this thought, the example of Paul. And Pastor Shannon, if you don't mind, I'd like to use a subtopic today, the example of parents. The example of parents. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us your son to bring us into relationship with you. Thank you for giving us the scripture so that we can know you better. Yes. And Father, thank you for your great love. In Jesus' name. Amen. The writer of Proverbs 20:11 says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. He also says in Proverbs 22:6, parents, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I love this one. This is one of my medicine verses. Joshua 1:8-9. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Yes, sir. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Paul says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now check this out. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. Guess what? They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. To our pastor, Pastor Shannon, our first lady, to the ministerial staff, my brothers here, and all of our cell groups at this church, and of course to our guests and friends, God bless you and thank you for being here this morning. Now, what I'd like to do today, if you pay close attention, is to preach what I call, wait for it, portable gospel. Now, I kind of explained that to you guys the last time I spoke, but some of you guys maybe went in one ear and then out the other. Now, what do you mean by portable gospel? It's the type of gospel you can carry home with you. It's the kind of gospel that when you hear today, you don't forget about all this week. You will begin to ponder it in your heart. You begin to think about what we talked about from the Word of God, not from Reverend Curtis. That's what I want to do today. You see, you know why I want to do it like that? Because somebody needs to give their life to Christ. And I don't know, but I think there's somebody here today that don't know Jesus yet. And I've been praying that today would be your day. And that you would take the confidence and the boldness the pastor was talking about to get up out of your seat when the invitation is given and say, hey, I want to know more about this Jesus. That's my job today, is to get you to the point to understand what I already know. That's my job. And before I get started, I always say when I got a serious message like this one, I think about these three preachers, and every 2 or 3 years, they would plan a fishing vacation together. And they would rent a boat and go up to this place where they could fish, and they come back with a lot of fish. And they got their boat rented, and they got in it, and they all began to pull off from the shore, and all of a sudden, one of the ministers said, hey, wait a minute. He scared the other two. He said, what's the matter? He said, hey, I left my bait. That's, boy, if I don't get that bait, I'm not going to catch no fish. He gets out of the water, out of the boat, walks on the water, walks to the shore, picks up his can of bait, walks back to the boat, get in, and they pull off from shore a little bit further. And one of the other ministers said, hey, wait a minute. He said, what's the matter? He said, man, I forgot something too. He said, what did you forget? My fishing pole. Man, when I use that one, it seemed like the fish just come right to me. He gets out of the boat, walks on the water, gets his fishing pole, walks back to the boat, gets back in. They pushed out a little deeper. Now, this third minister, he didn't forget nothing, but he didn't want to be left out. He said, wait a minute. They said, what? Did you forget something too? He said, well, no, let me go check anyway. He gets out of the boat and he steps into the water and straight down he goes. And as the two ministers began to grab him and pull him back up in the boat, they said, maybe, wait for it, we should have told him where the rocks are. You see, and that's my job today, to let you know where the rocks are. And that's what we're going to attempt to do as we share this word with you today. 1 Samuel 2:2 says, there's none holy as the Lord. For there's none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Speaking of the example of parents, I thought I'd start with you first today. Because I don't want some of you getting up and leaving midstream into the sermon. Huh? I can remember this, and I'm going to get into this. Don't worry, I'm making a point here. That was, again, these three girls. They grew up together. They did everything together. Except one thing. These other two girls went out and they had a sexual experience with some young boy. And then they came back and they shared that with the girl that hadn't done this yet. And they pushed her up against the wall and they said, you're going to do it like we did so we can all be the same. And she pushed back at him. She said, no, I can't do that. He said, number one, if I do that, I'll be sinning against my God. And number two, it would be a great embarrassment to my parents. And I definitely don't want to do that. She remembered what Paul says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. Yes. Young people, that was for you. God has a place for you in his church. So as Christians, one of our greatest concerns, listen to this, y'all, is family. I'm sure you agree with me that over the last century, the order and stability of the home has been drastically altered. Amen? Now listen, y'all, you know, let's play by the rules. When you hear the truth, it's okay to say amen. Amen. Is that right, Pastor Shannon? Amen. We won't put you out. You won't embarrass yourself. That's what we do over here. All right? Now, what do you mean, preacher? We don't eat together. Now, I ain't going to say it the way, you know, here's what. We don't eat together no more, do we? Everybody got their own place that they go to eat, don't they? When I grew up, we didn't eat dinner until my daddy came home. Now, you can say that's old school and that's how, but you know, it worked because I remember sitting at that dinner table and my daddy would look across that table and somebody said their father had a sixth grade education. My daddy had a third grade education. But he was smarter than most people who had 2 or 3 degrees. I want to let you know that. You see, I saw a sign the other day. God is concerned with your availability as opposed to your ability. Huh? Because he gives us the ability to do these things. You know what I mean? So we don't eat no more. We don't talk to each other no more. We don't have family devotion no more. I said it like that so you're going to remember this week. Did you hear what Reverend Curtis said? He didn't say more. He said, we don't do it no more. Huh? We don't do none of those things no more. We don't even have, you know what? It's not in my notes, but we in our covenant, church covenant, we do every first Sunday. It says that the second paragraph, we should be having family secret devotions. Don't raise your hand. That ain't happening no more. We don't sit down with our children no more at the table and talk to them. And again, my daddy would say, son, what did you do in school today? And he would say, the second thing he would say to your teachers out there, he said, what did you learn? What did you learn? We don't ask our children questions like that no more. What kind of examples are we setting in our homes? No wonder we're hearing about 14 and 15-year-old kids shooting and killing each other. No wonder there's shootings on the expressway. Christ is not king in our homes no more. We're talking about the example of parents. And look at verse 14 as Paul, what Paul tells Timothy here. Look at verse 14. He says this to Timothy, his son in the ministry. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, past tense, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Continue literally means, Paul is telling Timothy, he said, listen, son, remain. Stay right where you are. The things that you've learned from your mama and your grandmama. And let me prove this to you in scripture. I want you to flip over a little bit. Keep your Bibles because we're going to be doing a little bit of that. But we're going to finish in time. Turn over to 2 Timothy, the first chapter. I just want to show you something here. This is Paul talking to the young preacher, Timothy. Matter of fact, Paul not only discipled Timothy, he discipled Titus and a few others. Are you right at verse 3 of chapter 1? Here's what it says. Paul says, I thank God whom I served for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Wow, man, that speaks so much volume to me. How many of you guys are praying for your children today? How many of you, matter of fact, got up this morning and said a prayer? How many of you did that? You follow me? Here's Paul's son in the ministry. He says, every time I pray, your name comes to my mind. I think I told somebody here at this church, I said, I don't pray for you all the time. Matter of fact, I don't never pray for you because I don't see you enough. Your name don't come up in my mind. You see, I'm not a musician. If you don't tell me something, I can't go up there and say, okay, I don't do it like that. You have to let me know. Look at verse 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, Paul says, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Yeah. In verse 5, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfinished faith that is in, listen to this, in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother Eunice. Wow. This boy had a spiritual upbringing. Some of y'all, you're concerned about his degrees. Don't get me wrong. That stuff is good. But it only lasts while you're here. I want you to know that. You got to prepare to meet Jesus one day, young people and parents. You need to get a balance in your life at home with these kids. You can push your degrees, but make sure you're pushing some Jesus. I don't think too much of that's going on. And I think I'm talking to saved folk here today. We don't do that in our houses today. We don't bring up Jesus. Let me wait. I got it in my notes later. I'll talk about y'all later. Now, the challenges most of us encounter as children have changed in nature and increased in intensity. Now, how are we to counteract all that society throws at our children to lure them away from the family and the church? You know, when the pastor asked me to share this, I had been looking at the world and the way things are going. And I said, this will be a perfect opportunity for me to share some right now stuff, some 2016 stuff that you and I can identify with. Now, what should we do in order to pass our faith on to the next generation? And what are our children not seeing in you? I raised my daughter, and I'm so proud of her today. She's got a deep degree, but you know what? She got a better degree in Jesus. She's saved today. And my prayer for my daughter was this, before she even got married. I said, Lord, I would tell people that the man for my daughter is, number one, he's saved. And number two, he's in the church. And number three, he's got a job. And I'm not talking about a job out there. He better have one of those. Or the wedding is off. I wanted him working in a church somewhere. As I look around at you young people, I'm trying to figure this out now. Are you guys going to be in the church as you grow older? Are you going to be able to replace some of us old folk? We're not going to be around here long. And then I'm going to tell you, I was talking to a guy the other day. He told me that our ministries, our young people ministry is dying out in our church. And it's not a local problem, it's a universal problem. And he said, if you don't have a church building today, don't worry about it because you won't need it because we're not recycling people into our church. As the old folk die down, there's no new converts coming in. It's just people coming from that church and that church visiting each other. Huh? That's the way it is. Look at the world. Now, this message is for you parents. I want you to listen. I'm not judging you today. You can judge yourself, and then that's God's job. Now, I put this in, and I hope y'all don't get mad at me. Pastor Shannon, you ready to get in front of me on this one? Here's what I got. He said, some of us are just visitors. Now, listen to this. In our own churches. I'm sorry. We're just visitors in our own churches. We come out when we think it's convenient. We don't pray. We don't tithe. No service, no fellowship. You know what? Which equals or equates to, listen to this, no power. And then you wonder why things are going wrong in your life. You have to beg parents to bring their children out to be a part of some kids program. I wish I could say what I'm thinking. Help me, Holy Spirit. But the good news is that with all of our competing influences, our children deal with parents, with parents, have the most powerful influence. Listen, parents, you got the reins. You can pull them in. They will listen to you now. Listen, governing their lives right now, we have a chance. When they become adults and move out on their own, they carry with them the imprint of how they were raised or trained. I remember when I sent my daughter to college and she went down south, 750 miles, I clocked it. Because I said, man, if I have to drive to get there, I know just how long it's going to take. I clocked it. And so I knew that we had instilled in her some good Christian values, not just some good moral values. Those things are good. Those moral values are good, but they won't get you into heaven. You, parents, we got to instill within our children some good scriptural values. And you know what we should be doing? Sending them away with some good medicine verses. I got about 5 under my belt. Because everywhere I go, I don't have the opportunity to carry my Bible with me. But I carry it in my heart. Yeah. Remember David said in Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. That's what it's about, parents. Come on, y'all, we can do this. There's so much going on in our church today. There's so many ministries we wanted to be able to support, but we can't do it. You know why? Because you're not giving. I'm sorry, y'all. I just got to say it. You're not giving. You're tipping God. And let me just throw this out. And I got a good sermon on that. I tell people this. And adults, this is for you. Pay attention. Because if you've been tipping God, maybe after the day it'll change. You know, the Bible speaks of a 10% thing. And Paul says in Corinthians 9:6, he said, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Now listen, if all of us was really giving right, I don't know how many families we got at our church, but say we got about 80 families. Your tithe should be almost like a mini car note. Now, I just made somebody mad. And if you're not doing that, it should be just like a mini. It might not be the whole 10%, right? Y'all can say amen.
Amen.
But the tithes today, based on what we're making, it should be like a mini car note. I'm telling you. That's the way it should be. And if you're not doing that, if you're giving God $5, $10, $15, and you're making $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, read Malachi. God said, will a man rob God? Now, if I rob somebody, you know, that don't mean that I walk up to him like, give me your money. That's what God said you're doing. You're walking up to him, you got your gun drawn, you said, give me your money. I remember one time, I'm going to hurry up. I remember one time I got changed a $10 bill. You know, the 10, y'all seen one of those? And I asked the guy to give me change, give me 10 singles. And now this was my money. This was my 10, Virgil. It's my money, Virgil. So when I gave him the 10 singles, I stood right in front of him and I told somebody to block the door. I didn't want him to run out. And I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to give me one of those dollars back. I said, now remember, I gave you 10, but I want one back. I said, now the 9 is for you to live off of. God says, the 9 is for you to live off. He said, give me a dollar. But the problem is, it's like my mom used to tell me. She said, son, your eyes are bigger than your belly. Church, sometimes our eyes get to be bigger than our belly. let me do this. But the good news is that with all the competing influences our children deal with, we parents, we still have the reign. No wonder Paul said to his son in the ministry, Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, look over there. 2 Timothy, we still in 2 Timothy. I want you to see this because I want to make sure you get it. Here's what Paul said to Timothy. Listen, now this is his son in the ministry, chapter 4, verse 1. Listen to what Paul tells Timothy. He said, listen, son, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Parents, there's going to come a time in your life when if you don't raise them now, they are not going to listen to nothing you say. My mama used to tell me when we had our daughter, she said, Junior, she said, some of you country folk going to understand this. She said, bend that sap while it's young. She said, you can't go to a 10-year-old tree and try to bend it. It won't move. You got to instill within your children right now the principles of God. And you do that, and if they practice the principles, they will receive the promise. Verse 4 says, let me look at it. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's what's happening today with our children. I went to the barbershop the other day, and these 15, 16, 20-year-old kids, you know, waiting to get their turn. I said, hey, man, what church you go to? I don't go to church. They said with so much confidence and boldness, too. Okay, what church your mama go to? She don't go either. No wonder the world is the way it is. We're too busy, y'all. We don't even talk to our children no more. What they were taught and what they observe in the home. You see, it's like a recording that begins in their minds as babes and keeps running throughout childhood and adolescence. This is both, encouraging and sobering. This is that portable gospel we're talking about. Now, I want every parent in this place to do me a favor, if you don't mind. Just stand up, every parent. Just stand up. I'm almost done. The reason why I want you to stand up because I want you to listen to this line I'm going to read here. Our children are impacted more by what we communicate to them with our attitudes and actions than they are by our words. Let me say it again before you sit down. Our children are impacted more by what we communicate to them with our attitudes and actions than they are by our words. You can be seated. They notice if who we are contradicts who we profess to be. And this discrepancy between our words and actions set up a confusing and conflicting thought pattern that can determine whether they will follow in our steps or reject what we try to pass on to them. Amen? 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 Amen. When the Apostle Paul wrote to encourage Timothy, his spiritual son in the faith, he said, now you followed. That's past tense. Now the King James Version said, has fully known my teaching. Conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecution, and sufferings. Follow me, Paul says. Follow me. The apostle is very proud here. I'm talking about the kind of proud like seeing your child walk across the stage after 4 years of college proud. I remember my daughter when she walked across and she got a diploma. And they told him, keep walking, don't make no noise. She said, woo, woo, woo. And she didn't know that way in the back row, her mama was doing flips and somersaults. 4 years. Now, the key word in this passage is followed. Timothy followed in Paul's footsteps because, number one, pay attention, he saw authenticity in his life. Yeah. Parents, our kids ain't seeing that in us. We talk with forked tongue. We say one thing and we do another. Yes. Listen to this. More importantly, Timothy witnessed Paul's Christ-like attitude, his godly response to suffering, and his unfailing commitment to the Lord. I hope I said something today, and I hope it penetrates to your heart. Amen. Today, you will begin to do something. Today, when you go home, you will sit down with your children and have a talk with them. Now, to leave this kind of example for our children, we must become people of consistency. Yeah. The Christian's life is not something we put on in public and take off at home. No. That's what we do. We come in here with our little faces like we're so happy, but we're really not. Some of you, before you walked in here, you just had a fight with your kids or with your husband or your spouse, right? I used to do that all the time with my wife. We get in the car and she look over at me. Why'd you do that? And I look at her because I wanted to. You know what I mean? And then we come in here, we see the pastor. Hey, how you doing, sir? Huh? You see, Jesus intends that we grow continually in spiritual maturity and in integrity. Now, I just want to, Pastor, just 1 minute. I just want to read this scripture. I'm going to close. I want to leave you with this thought here. It's something that the Bible said a long time ago. The scripture said God spoke to Moses and he said it to those people then. I want to read this to you and I'm going to be done, I promise you. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6, a very familiar text. And that was my last thing I had, but I just wanted to, God put that on my heart and I wanted to share that with you before I sit down. Now listen, this thing ain't done. I told you that until you have done something with it. And just pay attention to this, and you could check it out later. But it's Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to be reading verses 4 through 7. Parents, pay attention to this. This might be the first time some of you ever heard of it. And I like to say on top of that, that's a crying shame. Don't tell me it's your first time. If you tell me that, I'm embarrassed for you. Listen to this. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these things, or these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt," listen to this, "and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sitteth down," thank you, "in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when you get up in the morning." You ought to take at least verse 7 to memorize it. Better than that, you ought to put it into practice. Now, verses 2 and 3, what are the things he's talking about that we should be telling our children? Look at verse, I'm going to read it to you. "That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, thou and thy son, and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged." Verse 3 being the last. "Hear therefore, O Israel," hear therefore, O People's Community Church, "and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord thy God has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Lord, my prayer is this, and you know we've been talking for a few days now. I pray that this word today that you've given me, that you spoke through the lips of clay that does not fall on deaf ears. I pray, Lord, that you might even begin here with our church, that we would be able to stand up and be examples, not only in church, but in our homes where it really counts, that we can start right here with us. And that the world might look at this church as being the model. And we can begin to change lives today. I pray for the parents. I pray for our young people. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you so much.